Good morning. It's good to be here. I'm mostly at John Loring campus, and even if I'm here from time to time, I am over there in the fellowship hall helping out Nancy or in the absence of Nancy. But my heart and my thoughts and my prayers are always with Pastor Chris and Vine family at Graham Road. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be able to share God's love and his heart for you this morning. I want you to take a look at a cartoon, if it will be on the screen. There's something strange about it. Can you tell me what's the strange thing about the cartoon? Yes, the bird is wearing a parachute. We all know that the bird doesn't need to wear a parachute. It doesn't matter where they are born or what shape or color they're in. We know that they are created. If you're as a bird, if you're born as a bird, then you can fly. You don't need a parachute to wear. So on the original cartoon, the bird on the left is asking, telling the other bird wearing parachute, why are you wearing a parachute? The bird on the left, the right, is wearing the parachute simply because he doesn't understand that he is a bird. If the bird knew who he was, the bird would also know that he's created to fly and no parachute is needed. Just to share a little bit of my background, I was born and raised in South Korea. That's important, not North, South Korea. And I immigrated to U.S. when I was 15 years old. My dad first came to U.S. To study. My father is a retired Methodist pastor as well. And he came to the United States to study, because he loves to study. So my mom and my siblings were left in Korea, and he was here for 5 years, finishing up his degrees. And while he was studying in Chicago, he began serving at a Korean-American church, and he developed heart and passion for Korean-American community here in the U.S. So he has made a decision to stay and pastor an immigrant church here in the United States. So after 5 years of separation, my mom and my siblings came to U.S. And when I first found out that we were moving to America, I had no idea what kind of struggles I would be facing learning a new language and adopting to a new culture. I was just excited that if I go to U.S., I can meet all these celebrities. I can meet MacGyver, and I can meet David Hasselhoff from Knight Rider. If you have no idea who I'm talking about, forgive me. That means you're very young. But these dramas, these TV dramas were aired in Korea, and they were really, really extremely popular. And I bet these actors don't even know how popular they were in Korea. After for a while, of course, I realized that I'm not seeing or meeting any celebrities because I'm simply in America. Also had to start having a very difficult time learning a new language and adopting to a culture here. And I also struggled greatly with my identity as Korean American. And in Korean community, I am called as 1.5 Korean American generation. I'm not first generation Korean American because I didn't come here as an adult. I'm not second generation Korean American because I wasn't born here. So I am like right in the middle, 1.5. Generation. And many things that I have a great advantages and benefits of being having both cultural experiences, being a bilingual and bicultural person. And yes, it is true, there are advantages of being a bilingual, bicultural person. However, instead of understanding and accepting my identity as Korean American, which means I'm Korean and I'm American. For many, many years, I felt like I was neither. And the confusion swept over me, especially when I went back to Korea to visit after for a few years I lived in the States. At that time, I thought that I was still just a Korean living in the States, and if I go back to Korea, I would feel at home. So after many years, I went back, and what I found out was that Korea was no longer my home. A lot of things already were changed within me, and I realized that I'm not fully Korean anymore, and Korea is no longer my home. So when that happened, of course, I had greater difficult time after coming back from Korea. And yet, despite all these struggles, confusion, and insecurities I had, it was when I found my identity in Jesus Christ as God's child that led me to find security and acceptance also as a Korean American. It was when my foundation of being who I am as God's child was realized that led me to understand and appreciate both cultures. It also led me to hear God's calling me to serve and go into ministry to serve young generations. And we're going to take a look at the scripture for today. And as we do, let us just bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for gathering us here as your children to praise and worship you for who you are. We open our hearts and minds to listen to your loving and tender voice you speak through your word. Even though I'm far from speaking the language fluently or eloquently, I pray that it is not by words, but by your spirit, you will make yourself known to us today. Amen. The scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark. In the bulletin, you will find a note with the scripture. Mark is the second book in the New Testament, one of the four Gospels that contains the account of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark begins with introducing John the Baptist, who is chosen to prepare a way for Jesus Christ. He taught people to repent and be baptized. And after 30 years of living as an ordinary person, Jesus appears in public for the first time, revealing his identity through receiving the baptism from John the Baptist. And let's look at what happens after receiving the baptism. Reading from Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." As Jesus was coming out of the water, God's voice is spoken. At first, God's voice seems like it was for the crowd, revealing the true identity of Jesus Christ. However, if you read closely, the scripture says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." The voice of God was not directed toward the crowd, but it was for Jesus. God the Father spoke those words because as Jesus begins his ministry, he will be called not as the Son of God, but people will call him with all different kinds of names, like the Son of Carpenter, Teacher, Prophet, and some even called him Son of Devil or Devil. In order for Jesus to bear and overcome all the struggles, all the obstacles, all the persecutions, and to die on the cross, Jesus needed to stand firm on who he was, whom he belonged to. He be reminded of his identity in relation to the Father, that he is the Son of mighty and everlasting God. In the same way, when we live in this world, of chaos and pain. And as we try to overcome so many different hardships in life, the sufferings the world brings to us, especially as we think about what's next, as Pastor Chris started a sermon series from last Sunday, what's next for us living as Christians, the most important thing, the most important foundation is to find our true identity in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to this world to proclaim that we are the sons and daughters of God. And we are created in God's image, and we are the children of God. And when this foundation of who we are realized, accepted, it doesn't matter what the world says who we are, what we can or cannot do, we can claim who we are and take off the parachute and be able to fly with confidence. Children and youth ministry, I believe, exist to speak that same truth to all young generations that we serve. Children and youth, as they grow up, they will struggle to find their identities in the midst of many voices they hear. And these voices will call them different names. Many of them will bring confusion and insecurities. And there is a huge difference between Jesus being the Son of God versus Jesus being the teacher or the prophet. In the same way, there is enormous difference between whatever names this world calls our children, whether it's by names, race, economic status, or social or family status, versus our children being the children of God. Whenever children come to church, we teach them who they are, their identity as the sons and daughters, the child of mighty and everlasting God. And this is what we do. If we go back to Mark chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 11, God, who said, "You are my child," also said, "Whom I love." Mother Teresa once said, there is more hunger for love in this world than for bread. Let me repeat that again. There is more hunger for love in this world than bread. Until I came to Vine Church, as Melissa introduced, I only served at Korean American Church. And because so many Korean families immigrate or come to United States for the sake of their children's education and success, most Korean American children grow up with privileges in education and a lot of things that the children who are poor can only dream of. And the parents' love for their children, they mostly express through providing and giving material things as well. From the outside, it looks like so much love is shown to these children, and yet I've painfully recognized and experienced that these children are very hungry for love. And despite of their ability and talents, they struggle with low self-esteem and insecurities. Most of their insecurities come from, especially, appearance and outlook, having smaller physical stature, or as an Asian American, looking different the majorities here. We know that when God says, "I love you," that means I've created you, and I know I've done a good job. You're beautiful, and I love you as who you are. And if we take a look at the book of Psalms in chapter 139, verse 13 and 14, it's also on the notes, which the book of Psalms contains poems and songs of praise. And in these verses it says, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works." That I know very well. It's a beautiful confession. It's a beautiful confession. And I really pray that we all are able to make the same confession from our hearts. But I must say, even many believers, many Christians who know that God created us and He loves us just as we are, still struggle with low self-esteem and self-image. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a culture that making comments, saying things about our appearance is very common. So as soon as the baby is born, they will say something like, oh, he has the nose, his nose is so big, and he's got his father's nose. Or, you know, the tell daughter that, oh, she got, how come she has her dad's fingers? She should have her mom's fingers. And make all these comments very bluntly and straightforward. So I grew up hearing many voices commenting about how I look. And so did my younger sister. However, my younger sister is very, very pretty. Very pretty. She got all the good parts from both sides. And since she was a baby, people would make comments like, she's beautiful, she's pretty, she should become Miss Korea, she should become a model when she grows up, and all these words. And I grew up always hearing, she looks kind, she looks nice, she looks like she has a good heart. I remember wondering what that means to have look kind or look nice, or she looks like she has a good heart. In a way, I grew up constantly being compared to my younger sister. But you know what? Strangely enough, I don't think I ever struggled with the way I looked, even after I immigrated to the United States. And I also was never jealous or envious of the comments that people made about my sister or envious of my sister's beauty. Quite the opposite, I always bragged about how beautiful she is, like how I'm doing now to this day. And one day I wondered, especially as I struggled to find out why our children have such low self-image and low self-esteem and what can we do about it. And as I was pondering, how come I didn't grow up really beating myself about how I looked and what people say about me? And what I found out was very surprising. The reason all the voices commenting about the way I looked and the comparison with my sister didn't really influence me was because there was one voice that overshadowed and got rid of all the other voices. And it was the voice of my parents. And I remember whenever people would make these comments, my parents would also pull me aside and say, my Korean name is Eugyeong. It's hard, that's why my name is K. They say, Eugyeong, but you have the charm. And when I was young, I don't think I understood what it meant by the charm. And I didn't need to understand that, because I knew by the way they spoke these words, I knew it was something good, and that was enough for me. And my self-esteem was preserved, and my relationship with my sister was also preserved because of the very simple but loving words of my parents. Yes, we need to believe and hold on to God's word saying that He loves us just the way we are, and He loves us because He created us wonderfully and beautifully. But we also need to speak these same words to each other, more so to our children and youth. Whether children often hear the words of love and acceptance at home or not, Fancy Nancy and all the children's volunteers, Karen is there, always serving tirelessly, all these volunteers, they come and they serve our children so that our children can hear the word of God, that they are not a mass production. They're not mass production. But each one of them is uniquely created, and they are beautiful. And through sharing the stories in the Bible, who also speaks that truth, we teach them that they are children of God and He loves them very much, just as they are, and so do we. And I know that these voices children hear, even though maybe on every Sunday, or once every 2 weeks, or once every month, every time they come here, that they will hear these voices of the truth, the voice of God, and I know that it will remain in their minds and hearts, and it will shut out all the other voices they hear. It will bring them down, and it will discourage them, and it will give them insecurities of who they are. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Let's turn to one another, and I want you to say these words. Turn around and say, "You are the child of God." And say, "And you are," and also say, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." And I want you to say to yourself, okay, and say, "I am a child of God." And praise God because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you say that? Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Amen. Okay. God, who said, "You are my child, whom I love," also said on verse 11, "With you I am well pleased." When do you usually hear those words? "I am well pleased with you." We usually say it when someone met our expectations or when we are satisfied with someone's accomplishments. When God the Father spoke these words to Jesus, Jesus hadn't begun his ministry. He hadn't accomplished anything. He hadn't finished the work God sent him to do, which was to die on the cross to bring salvation to humankind. And yet God told Jesus, "With you, I am well pleased." God could say these words of appreciation and validation, not because Jesus met or fulfilled God's expectations. God was pleased with his son, not because of what he had done, but simply because Jesus was his son. We often say, "I love you," to our spouses. We often say, "I love you," to our children or family members or friends. However, how often do we say, "I am pleased with you," or "I'm satisfied with you"? How often do we hear someone else saying those words to us? Instead, we often hear, "I'm disappointed," or "dissatisfied," "I am not happy with you." And it's hard to say words like "pleased" or "satisfied" to one another because it's conditional. It's conditional depending on whether you've met my expectations or not. If God were to speak those words to me, "Kay, I love you," I don't have a hard time accepting that and believing that. But if I still have a hard time, and I need to really wrestle through it. But if God were to say to me that, "I am pleased with you, I am well pleased with you," quickly I'll have these questions in my mind. Say, "How can you be pleased with me? I failed you in so many ways. I failed to spend time with you. I failed to pray for so many people. I failed you in so many ways, and how can you still be pleased with me? Isn't it strange, though, that as Romans 5 and 8 says, and it's on the notes, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I accepted and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord and dedicate our lives to him because of his unconditional love shown through the life of Jesus Christ. And yet, as we live as Christians, we change God's unconditional love to conditional love. We need to continue to hold on to the truth that it's not because what we've done, but because of God's unconditional love that we are saved. And we also need to remember that it's not because of what we can do, but because of God's love for us, his children, that God can be pleased and satisfied with us. With you, I am well pleased. With you, I am well pleased. These words are more important than anything else that we need to hear. Also, we need to try to speak the same words to one another. Most of our children are growing up in the notoriously known as Fairfax County Public Schools. Fairfax County Public Schools has a high school that ranked number 5 in the nation, and it dropped down from number 3 previous year. And one time at my former church, I did a survey among children, and one of the questions was, do you believe that your mom, your dad love you? Most Korean parents came to the United States for the sake of their children, and they made a lot of sacrifices, and they still make a lot of sacrifices living in the States. And of course, their parents loved them very much. And yet, I was so surprised to see how many children answered that question, circled no. Their parents left their home and country, their family and their career for the sake of their kids, and yet their children don't think that their parents love them. The following question was, if not, why do you think so? And most of their answers were, because I didn't get all my A's, because I didn't get into GT, which is Gifted and Talented Program, because I don't listen to her very well. The way that they understood their parents' love was conditional. Their understanding of their parents' love was whether they were able to meet parental expectations. We all have expectations. Because we love, we have expectations for one another. Because we desire the best for one another. And this world is not that easy, and we want to make sure that our loved ones do well and succeed with their lives. However, if expectations overshadow love, those expectations can produce low self-esteem, self-judgment, self-hatred. And instead of helping our loved ones recognize and use their gifts and talents fully, they can become like the bird who lives in fear and insecurity, holding tight onto the parachute, not being able to fly on its own. In the midst of our hopes and expectations, the unconditional love that is shown through the voice of God that needs to be continuously heard and spoken because God's voice is life-giving. And as we ponder and pray for our next goals and purposes in life. I hope and pray that the motivation will not be to meet someone else's expectations, but it will be simply because we love. We plan our next because we love God who created us. We plan our next because we love others, those around us. And most importantly, we plan our next because we love and value ourselves in the way that God sees us. And there is another picture. And that picture is from a friend of mine who's also a pastor. And he's a extremely smart, intelligent, and he went to Ivy League and all that. And in the world standard point of view, he has everything and he can do anything he wants. And yet, he was struggling so much with his low self-esteem and confidence, and he wanted to quit ministry. It was really heartbreaking for all of us who know him to see him struggle like that and be able to not see the potential and all the capability God has already granted in him. He just needs to use it. So we began praying for him. And one day, we start seeing a difference in him. We can see that he's happy. We can see that he started building confidence and security. So one day I asked him and say, something happened that you're not sharing with us? And this is what he told me. He said one day he went on hiking with his friend. And he climbed up the mountain with heavy heart and sorrow and pain. And when he reached the top of the mountain, and he just spread out his arms like that, and he just cried out to God. And he went with a friend of his, and his friend just happened to just take a picture of him. And they didn't realize, and the friend who took the photo didn't even realize at that moment, but after they took a look at the photo, and they realized that there was a bird above his head flying in exactly right angle. Only God can perfectly match things like that. So when my friend saw that picture and the bird, he said he broke down crying because he felt like God knows his pain, God knows his struggles, and he's there with him, encouraging him, giving him hope, giving him confidence. Dear Graham Road family, not my words, but God's words. Hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of God, the life-giving voice, one more time. God speaks to each one of you, says, you are my child, whom I love, and I am well pleased with you. Can we accept his voice today? Amen? Yes, because it's not about us, it's all him. Can we let him encourage us? Can we let him strengthen us? Can we let him restore us? Yes? Yes. Okay, let us bow our heads and pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for who you are. You know all our struggles, sorrows, joys, and pains. You know all our fear and insecurities. And this morning, we come to you as who we are, and we surrender ourselves to you. Fill us with your unconditional and unfailing love, and help us to always open our ears and hearts to hear your life-giving voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.